Old Windows XP, the gift that keeps on giving to Microsoft.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Microsoft's classic operating system, Windows XP, is 91 years old in dog years. And today, Microsoft stops helping it along. Unless big customers pay extra, there will be no more patches when hackers attack. I say unless big customers pay extra, which some governments are doing rather than upgrading. The British government has signed a $9.2 million deal with Microsoft. The Netherlands is also paying up. The BBC's Russell Padmore.
You have to remember that perhaps a quarter of computers in different businesses here in Europe and the public sector government departments still running on that old Windows XP system. They are vulnerable to hackers unless they can come up with some way to get Microsoft to carry on support. That means paying Microsoft. Now, the UK government should have maybe anticipated this problem. We've known about it for a good couple of years. Now, British taxpayers are going to be subsidising the profits of Microsoft. And remember, this is a company in the last quarter of last year made $20 billion in revenue. Here in the UK in particular, the government under pressure as the economy struggles to get back on track, many consumers suffering austerity. They might just be saying, why is the government spending their tax dollars, their tax pounds, funding the revenues of an American company?
As for individuals, you might say get off the stick and upgrade already, but I've got a perfectly useful laptop with a nice magnesium case that's too small to fit anything other than XP. Now let's check the markets after two bad days for NASDAQ tech stocks and stocks in general. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are sitting close to unchanged at the moment. The FT 100 in London is down 1%. Lots of quarterly profit reports start coming out this afternoon. China has imposed tougher restrictions for imports of live pigs from the U.S. after a fatal virus killed millions of young pigs at farms in nearly 30 U.S. states. People in China eat the most pork in the world. Marketplace's China correspondent Rob Schmitz is following this from Shanghai. Hey, Rob.
Good morning, David.
So none of the scenarios have good outcomes for the pigs, Rob. But what will this do to American pig farmers?
These restrictions are on live pigs, which represents a small portion of pork products that the U.S. exports to China. I think what's more interesting here, though, in economic terms, is what happened behind the scenes here in China to put some of these measures into place. I spoke to Feng Yonghui, chief analyst at Suzhou.com, China's major web portal on the live pig market, and he told me there was a little more to these new import measures than just a concern about this virus.
China's domestic pork prices have been very low for the last 2 years, thanks to imported live pigs from America. Domestic farmers have been complaining a lot to China's government about this, so given all this pressure, it's understandable the government would take such measures.
Such measures like what, Rob?
Well, like, you know, China has asked the USDA to conduct testing and provide certification that imported live hogs are from herds that are free of this epidemic virus. And producers in the States have already noticed that China is beginning to deny permits for live pig imports until the USDA starts to implement this type of testing.
Rob Schmitz, Marketplace's China Bureau Chief. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Federal Reserve officials are thinking the jobless rate could dip below 6% this year, but there are still pockets of double-digit unemployment around the country. Take eastern Kentucky, where layoffs in the coal industry have helped push the jobless rate to 16%. Some blame what they call President Obama's war on coal, but the political rhetoric belies a more complicated reality. In the first piece from our series Coal Play, here's Marketplace's sustainability reporter Sarah Gardner.
Ryan Trent has been looking for another coal mining job ever since he lost his in December of 2012. He faults President Obama.
I blame him for trying to regulate coal-fired power plants, because if it weren't for that, we'd still have jobs.
For sure, the EPA's crackdown on power plant emissions and mountaintop removal means fewer coal jobs here. But analyst Michael Dudas at Stern Agee says Appalachian coal would still be at a disadvantage.
The cost to mine the coal in Wyoming is $10 a ton. The cost to mine that coal in eastern Kentucky can range from the low to mid-40s to upwards of $70 a ton.
talked to long-retired miners like Lee Sexton, a legendary banjo player here, and you begin to understand why.
I don't see hardly how they can be any more coal in these mountains now.
Why?
Well, it's all mined out. They've been so much of it took out, you.
Coal companies have mined here for well over a century, so they've exhausted the easy coal, and they're now also competing against more productive mines in the Midwest. Greg Pauley, president and COO of Kentucky Power, says his utility will be using less coal in the future wherever it comes from.
As the cost of using coal continues to rise, we go away from that. And what do we go away to? Right now, we go to gas.
Which brings us back to President Obama. The EPA's upcoming carbon pollution standards means burning coal will cost more. Bill Bissett, president of the Kentucky Coal Association, believes that won't destroy coal mining here, but the industry will play a smaller role in the economy.
Chances are the companies will be more privately owned, less multinational in footprint, and they'll likely be taking more advantage of spot markets than long-term contracts.
Dee Davis has worked on rural poverty issues here for decades. He says it's now up to East Kentuckians to figure out an economy beyond coal.
Coal is our history. Coal is our heritage. It's been a friend, but it's not our future.
In Eastern Kentucky, I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
We'll have more about the rise and fall of coal on Marketplace's PM program later today. Plus, at marketplace.org, we have an audio slideshow of the compelling and sometimes tragic Appalachian landscape. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.